Today I want to talk to you just a message that I've had on my heart for quite a while. It is going to be, for some of you, seem like it is just so simplistic and such a nonchalant, such a breeze that we can breeze over this, that really you might have the tendency to think it really doesn't matter. But if you'll grab a hold of what we're going to share this morning for a few moments, I believe this might be one of the deepest things we could ever talk about. We want to talk about love the only way. Not a feeling, not an emotion, not something where we're trying to get some kind of song from the 80s that we discoed to, but where we look at the thought this morning from the Bible that a way to live in love is a way that will please God, that will produce things in your life, that will show you, reveal things to you, will encourage you, will steer you, if you will get this dynamic of the love of God working in your life and consistently checking yourself if you are actually walking in the God kind of love. Somebody said this, a life outside of love is a life outside of the will of God. A life outside of love. And we'll talk about it from several scriptures. We're going to spend most of the morning looking at a book from toward the end of the Bible by the book of Revelation by a guy named John. John reveals himself as the beloved apostle, the beloved disciple, the one that Jesus loved. He wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he actually wrote the gospel called John that bears his name. And John talks more about love than any other disciple. He talks more about it. Evidently, he's got a deep revelation of understanding of who Jesus is and his love demonstrated toward him, and then Jesus' love demonstrated towards the world. The love is the basic of all Christianity, and really, this is what we could call deep Christianity. So many of us, growing up, you know, we hear this all the time, and we have a tendency to say this a lot, and I'd encourage you maybe to make a shift and a change regarding this. You know, we say, well, man, I love my house. I love my car. Man, I love my cat. And so then we use those same words with some other things that we would probably think are a little bit more important, you know. I love God. I love my spouse. I love my kids. I love other people in the body of Christ. I love the church. Well, you know, I would encourage you that I can't really love God the same way I love my house. So I would encourage you maybe to have a little shift, a little change again, just mentally. This might just be me, but maybe you think about it as well. How about we start just kind of liking our stuff, but we really love God. We love the Word of God. We love the people of God. Come on, everybody. We love the church that Jesus died for. Because all those other things are just temporal. Everything God does, He does from the foundation of love. Everything He does. In fact, if there's any correction in your life, God's going to do it because He loves you. If there's anything in your life where it looks like where you say, wow, I'm praying and I don't quite see it happen, and so God must be tempting me, testing me. No. God loves you. That's never going to change. He is love. Everything He does from the foundation of love. So we're going to talk about this all morning. We're just going to bathe ourselves in it this morning. I'd encourage you to just write a few of these scriptures down. Open up your ears. Listen to the Holy Spirit as the message is coming forth. And maybe make some adjustments and some changes in your heart as we go through this as well. Come on, get your Bible open. Get your phone open. Let's look at 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. This is from this guy named John. And he says this. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Come on, can you say that with me? God is love. God doesn't have love. God is love, right? God is love. And he who abides in love, abides in God and God in him. Notice that? He who abides in love, abides in God and God in him. Wow. So, that would hence... the statement that we had earlier, anything we do, a life lived outside of love is a life lived outside of God and the will of God. If God is love, for you and I to walk and be in the will of God will demand that we walk and stay and live in love. Wouldn't you agree with that? So the lifestyle, notice what he's saying here. We've known and believed that God is love. Notice this, writing to Christians, he's writing, this guy named John, the apostle, we've known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So two things that he says here I think that's really interesting. He says he uses the word knowing and believing. Notice on the screen. Knowing and believing about God's love for you is the basis of a growing and healthy relationship. Knowing and believing. Knowing, of course, has to do with knowledge. Where are you going to get this knowledge? Not from school. Come on, not in the education system. You're not going to get it at work. The knowing, the knowledge you're going to have to get from the Word of God. So maybe you grew up in a church, maybe you grew up in an environment where people told you or you heard or maybe it was preached across that, you know, God's about ready to slap you upside the head. You just can't find that in the Bible. God's not going to slap you upside the head. God's going to wrap his arms around you because God's love. That's what he does. God is love. God is love. And so you're going to have to then, and I'm going to have to change and renew my mind and change the way I think about me, about my situation, about the life I'm living, about the things that God's called me to do. But in the middle of it all, I've got to have a foundation in my life that God is love. Everything he does for me, everything he does with me, everything, his motive, his intention, his heart, his direction, his will, his purpose for my life, has got to be in love. I got to know that. Or else situations will arise in my and your life where we say, where's God? How many times has somebody asked that? Does God really love me? Is God really care? Is God really concerned? The answer emphatically is yes. God is love. Come on, everybody. You're his child. The minute you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're his child. He loves you with an everlasting love, the Scripture says. His heart's always towards you. He's racing towards you with his grace and his healing and his deliverance and his victory. Come on. He loves you. He loves you. You got to know that. But then John says, we've known and we believed. Knowledge from the Word of God. Now believing has got everything to do with me exercising my faith and walking this out on a daily basis. Do you know you can know something and never do anything with what you know? You can know that God loves you, but you can go through situations and say, I know He loves me, but what about this? I mean, I know He does, but I'm never acting on that love. I want to encourage you to open up the spout of God's love and let Him fill you and let Him work in you and work out from you. Work through you, I should say. Fill you and let Him work through you with the love of God. It'll change your life. It'll get the guilt out of your life, the shame out of your life, the fear out of your life, the worry out of your life. God loves me. Anything going on in my life, I'm telling you, if it looks like, wow, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation, come back to the foundation. God loves me. His Word, His grace, His power. Come on, everybody. His deliverance is going to work in me, work for me, work through my kids. It's going to change my situation. Why? God loves me. Come on, make that declaration one more time. God loves me. Man. The lifestyle of a Christian, you know it just based on this Scripture. Supposed to be love. But we see so many people that struggle with this. And we see so many people, again, that the testimony for a lot of us in the room, maybe why you didn't follow Christ earlier was because you looked at somebody's life and went, if they're a Christian, look at the mess they're in. They act just like somebody who doesn't know Christ. The lifestyle that we live is supposed to be from the foundation of love. And of course, love is the demonstration to the world. It is this demonstration that we have been changed and the nature inside of us has been born again. We're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. So I don't have to act like I used to act. I don't have to talk like I used to talk. I don't have to bully my way around. I don't have to shout in the house. I don't have to be arrogant and cocky. Why? The love of God is working in me. And if I don't stay in the love of God, John says, I'm moving out of the very life of God. The life of God. Now, look real quick over the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 7. This is, again, the same writer. This is in the Gospel, the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 15, verse 7. John is talking in John 15 about Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. If we stay vitally united and connected with Him, the life source from the vine is going to stay to the life source in our life as far as a branch, and we'll be able to receive the very life source. Think about that now today. Think about that. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, do you know that the very nature of the love of God isn't something that you generated yourself? Again, we're not talking about natural love. We're not talking about the love a man has for a woman that he's going to start dating and start courting and all of a sudden start and then marry. We're not talking about a natural love. We're not talking about a love for a mom for her children. Somebody who's not born again can have that. We're talking about something that originates with God and is now in your life because you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It's love on a whole nother level. We'll talk about it in a second. John says here in John 15:7, read this out loud. Come on, let's read this scripture. 1, 2, 3, read. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Come on, one more time. Read it out loud. One more time. One more time. One more time. 1, 2, 3, read. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Stop right there. You abide in God. But then what else has got to happen? Come on, what else has got to happen? Okay, so what are God's words? Where are God's words? Biblia, come on, Biblia, Bible. Come on, I'm learning Spanish. Pretty good, huh? Thank you. Thanks, Arcelia. Arcelia said yes. You did good. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what are you going to be able to do? Ask. Come on, somebody say ask. Ask. This is a crazy scripture. Ask what you desire. And it'll be done for you. Wow. So John, the same writer in John 15, verse 7, is the same guy who wrote 1 John 4. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He said there in 1 John 4, we've known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love, abides in God. Abides in love, abides in God. Abides in love, abides in God. Let's say it this way. Walks in love, walks with God. Walks in love, walks with God. Lives with God, lives in love. Then he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So again, this abiding, how do I know if I'm abiding with him? How do I know? What's the litmus test? What do I put in the jar and I go, yes, that's it. This is it. What is that test? Here's the test. Are you walking in love? How do I know if I'm abiding with God? How do I know if I'm really, do I memorize scripture? Okay. Do I go to church all the time? Okay. Do I do good deeds for people? Okay. But at the end of the day, the only true test, if you're abiding in God and with God, is if you're walking in love. Interesting scripture, note takers. Write it down, 1 Peter 3:7. Some of you note takers. The Bible says something alarming. It'll, you know, either, like I say, put hair on your chest or take it off, one or the other. In 1 Peter 3:7, Peter writes to husbands and wives. And he says, "Husbands, dwell with your wife with understanding. Give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life." Notice this, "that your prayers be not hindered." So husbands and wives, he says, you're going to have to hang out together, and you're going to have to get along, and you're going to have to walk in love. And if you don't walk in love, he says, your prayers are going to be hindered. Going to be hindered. And so, I don't know about you, but I need my prayers answered all the time. Huh? Anybody beside me? Yeah. And so walking in love is going to be a huge thing, and it's going to be the most challenging thing you've ever done in your life. To not just loving somebody that's loving to you, but loving somebody who's nasty and bitter and negative towards you. Because Jesus says, if you just love somebody who loves you, Jesus said this, even the sinners and the publicans and the tax collectors do that. He said anybody can do that. But he says, here's what I want you to do. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Bless them. Don't curse them. Wow. Love, bless, do good, and pray. Demonstrating the love of God in your own life. Kimberly and I watched a movie a little while ago. It's an older movie by Tom Cruise in it. Anybody like Tom Cruise? Nobody's even going to raise their hand. Look, some of y'all are going, I don't go to movies. Yeah, nah, okay, anyway. All right. It's called Oblivion. And this movie was a sci-fi movie. And so Tom Cruise, he's been cloned a couple different times, and he kind of has flashbacks of a life that he used to live, and trying to remember his marriage, and trying to remember his first wife, and he's met this new space wife or something, and it's kind of a freaky movie. Anyway, there's this force that is in the form of a woman's voice, and she appears as a woman, but she's like some alien or something, and she asks this question to Tom Cruise, the husband, and to his space wife all the time. Because if the question comes up ever negative, then they will know they need to eradicate this couple and start again. Because somehow they're not following protocol and staying with the program. Here's the question the space alien entity keeps asking Mrs. Cruise and Mr. Cruise. They ask them, "Are you still an effective team?" It's all throughout the movie. Are you still an effective team? And if the answer came up one time where the space Tom Cruise, Mrs. Cruise says, "We are no longer an effective team," because Tom Cruise was getting images of his old life and he understood that what was really going on. And so then the force came to kill them. Can I tell you, I'm watching that movie, and Kimberly and I started asking ourselves, this is our joke around the house, whenever tensions get high. Anybody ever have tensions get high at your house? Anybody ever have a disagreement with your spouse? It's called arguing, but that's okay. You had a disagreement. I know that. We're in church. And we just ask ourselves, are we still an effective team? Because one of the things the enemy wants to do consistently is to get you out of love. And we find out if he gets you out of love, he gets you out of the very life of God. Now listen to me, I'm not saying you all of a sudden lose your born-againness. No way. It's just that can never happen. But the ability for you to hear God, function with God, you to flow with God, it gets tainted, it gets tarnished if there's something in your life against somebody else on the earth specifically. With your family as well. So I want to challenge you. When we talk about the love of God, one of the most challenging areas you are going to have to walk in the love of God is right there at your own house. Can everybody in the room say amen to that? Amen to that. Look what he says in chapter 4, everybody. 1 John 4. We all right, everybody? We're going to grind down to a halt this morning. Come on. It's going to get better before it gets worse. Come on, I promise you. 1 John 4, verse 7 through 9. Notice what it says here. John, again, the same writer, writes more. And he says, "Beloved, Let us love one another. So we're not just talking about a husband and a wife. Let us love one another. For love is of God. Again, love is of God. We're not talking about anything natural. We're talking about a supernatural love. Not a human love. Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Stop right there. The deeds that you do, the demonstration that you show, a person who's born again and a person who's not born again can do the very same thing. I can demonstrate to my wife, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Spirit, Kimberly is. I can demonstrate to her, love to her, I can be gracious to her, I can be kind to her, I can be generous to her. But there could be somebody who's not even born again that does the very same thing. But what John is saying is that the motivation, the foundation for which and why you do all that does not originate with you. That you realize, I am to love my spouse, I am to love my children, I am to love you, I am to love others, not with my own natural limited love. I can love you, I can love my spouse with an unending love, regardless of anything reciprocated toward me. That's unnatural. That's unhuman. It's called supernatural. In the book of Galatians, the writer Paul, the apostle, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit inside every born-again person. When you're born again, meaning you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, He causes your spirit to be reborn. If you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says you will be born again. You're now a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And inside your born-again spirit, Paul lists, there's several fruit or outflowing of this born-again nature. He calls them fruit. He says that they're love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's in you. It's in me. It's there. I didn't ask for it. I don't got to pray for it. I don't got to wonder if it is there. It is there. It is ready for me to then act on it, yield to it, so that that fruit can have an entrance in my life, outflowing through my life, and affect other people's lives. It's in all of us. It is not natural. It is supernatural fruit of the Spirit. And one of them just happens to be love. So John is telling us this love is of God. And he says, everyone who loves is born of God and can know God. Then he says this in verse 8. Notice this. He who does not love does not know God. Man. So if I'm operating, he's not saying all of a sudden, you know, I've just lost my mind. I have no knowledge of God. He's saying the person who just consistently does not yield to and does not operate in the God really has not got a knowledge of God. And yet he says earlier, we've known and we believed. So this is a person who has been born again maybe, but is not finding out the will of God for their own life. And says, I'll love you if you'll love me. I'll say something nice to you if you say something nice to me. You're in need? Well, I was in need once and you never did anything to me, so I'm not going to do anything for you. No. The love of God in your life will always be an aggressive love, will always manifest the very life of God because you have been changed by something that's not natural. This is the third time that John actually writes this. He says this in the three chapters before, and he talks about this love is the test for the Christian life, walking in love. And God says something amazing here. He says, the same way I love you, now you have to love others. That's a pretty high bar, wouldn't you say? It's a pretty high bar. I mean, in fact, so high that the Bible says God demonstrated His love towards you in Romans 5, that while you were dead in sin, Christ died for you. Think about that. You and I were dead. No way to save ourselves. And God says, I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to send you Jesus, and Jesus is going to die for you. So that tells us that there's something in our lives called the love of God that will actually suppress anything in our life that tries to take itself and rise on the throne of our own life for our own good. That will say, no. I'm going to let my life be diminished. I'm going to lower myself, and I'm going to believe that the love of God will elevate me whenever I need to be elevated. I don't need to act a certain way, think a certain way, talk a certain way. I don't need to bully my way in situations. I don't need to, be arrogant and cocky. The love of God working in my life will make a way for me, and God will do in me what He wants to do in me. And God will promote me, and God will make my name get out there, and God will help me in my relationship. And so I don't need to rant and rave. I need to just let the love of God work in my life. Amen. You got a card that looks like this. If you don't know where it is, you might be sitting on it. Come on, everybody grab one of these. We've done these things before. Let me give you the backstory to this. Everybody got one? Y'all got one? Everybody? You know, we've done these before, I know, several years ago, but boy, it's just too good not to everybody get everybody. And anyway, you know, if you don't know what to do with it, just fan yourself a little bit there with it. And that might be something to help you this morning. The backstory for this was, I'm 55, so this is probably 35 years ago. A pastor at our church there, who just went and saw last week, 40 years in ministry, he was there, so we went to go honor him. Had a great, great time there in Tennessee. He was preaching once and evidently preaching about, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this great love chapter. And they passed out a card just like this. In fact, this is the exact card. I mean, the words are exact, and it was about that very same size. And so he was preaching. I was listening as a 20-year-old kid, and he said, I'll tell you what, the love of God is the only way. And you read some of these same scriptures that if you want the life of God working in you, functioning, you got to be in the love of God. I mean, you got to stay in the love of God. You got to challenge yourself. You got to work it in you. It's in you. You got to yield to it. You got to operate in it. And so I just right there, what he was preaching, I just made a deal with God. I mean, he said this, the pastor said this, and so we'll throw the challenge out to you all. He said, you need to take this confession and you need to say it, confess it out loud every single day. So we got any takers? Anybody out there confess this out loud every single day? Anybody? Okay, we got about 4 or 5 people, 6 people, 7 people. All right, come on, take that challenge. Put it somewhere you can see it. Put it on the fridge. You'd be there a couple times during the day. Come on, everybody. Put it in your car. Put it somewhere and confess it every single day. The Bible says you can have what you say, right? Come on, you can have what you say. So let's say the word. So the challenge for me was the pastor said that. Say it, confess it every day. So I said, well, shoot, if it'll work, I want this working in me. If this is so important to God, I want it working in me. I want to walk in love. I want to stay in the blessing of God, the favor of God, the goodness of God. I want to see God working in my life. I want to stay in the life of God. So I told God, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this card and I'm going to put it right to the right-hand side of the door, which I, in my bedroom, that anytime I walk out of that door, I'm going to stop and I'm going to confess this. So I got a tack and I tacked it right there to my wall, eye level. Made a deal with God. I never realized how many times you walk in and out of your bedroom. You have a middle of the night to go, do what you need to do. And it's 2:00 in the morning. And I'm walking out the door, my bedroom door. And I'm reminded of this. So I stop, turn on my light, and I'm reading it. Shut the light off, go come back. In the morning you get up, go start take a shower. I'd stop, and I'd confess it. Go back, put your clothes on. Go back, I brush your teeth. And I'd stop and confess it. Pretty soon I got to thinking, I don't ever want to go back in that bedroom again. Come on, somebody. I'm going to leave whatever's in there. I'm going to go to school. But I just meant business. So I'd encourage you. Let's read this out loud. Say this. Activate it. Believe it. This means mix your faith with it every single day. If you're struggling with a certain area, the love of God is in you. It's working in you. Yield to it. Come on, let's read this out loud. 1, 2, 3, read. According to Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, being full of God's love, I am patient and kind. I'm never envious, nor do I boil over with jealousy. I'm not boastful or vainglorious, nor do I display myself haughtily. I'm not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. I don't act unbecomingly. I don't insist on my own rights or my own way. I'm not touchy, fretful, or resentful. I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I don't rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but I rejoice when right and truth prevail. I bear up under anything and everything that comes, and I'm always ready to believe the best of every person. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and I endure everything without weakening. God's love in me never fails, fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. I'm eagerly pursuing and continually walking in the God kind of love. I've made it my aim, my great quest. How many know that'd be a good great quest? Huh? Yeah. So, you know, you start looking at this, and here's what you're going to find yourself, if you're serious, is you're going to say, read that first part that actually says in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And you're going to start saying, I'm patient and kind. And you're going to start thinking, am I patient and kind? Am I patient and am I kind? And so your relationships are going to start getting filtered through the love of God. Through the love of God. And I tell you, the most challenging place this is going to work is in your home. With your spouse. With your children. Because you don't want to be two-faced. You don't want to be one way at church, one way at work, and another way at home. This confession, he says a couple of things there that really just stick out with me. I'm not touchy, fretful, or resentful. I'm not touchy about today. I can't get out. I'm not going to allow anything going on in my life to get me out of the love of God today. He says, I'm not touchy, fretful about the future. Well, gosh, what's going to happen in ISIS and who's going to be elected and what's happened in the job market? And God loves me. God loves me. He's got to figure it out. So I'm going to rest in His love. Not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Resentful about the past. You didn't hear this morning, but my son-in-law, Tony, he had to go for this service, but gave a great, great testimony about his life and what happened in his life years ago. Nine years ago, he was out partying, and of course, not serving God, and he was arrested. Car wrecked his car, and he was arrested for DUI. So he had a record against him and all kinds of stuff, and started working as a young man at Starbucks. Really nothing wrong with Starbucks, but just thinking, this is all I can do in my life. Anybody, he had a desire maybe to be in the medical field, and people told him, there's absolutely no way you can be in the medical field with the record you have. He wanted to get involved and be, you know, EMT and firefighter. And so he just stayed at Starbucks for years. Well, about 5 years ago, he met Brittany. Brittany worked at Starbucks, maybe longer ago than that. And, you know, about 4 years after that, they started dating and all kinds of things. And Tony got born again. Tony got filled with the Holy Spirit. Tony started coming to church, hanging around us at the house. Started thinking different. Started believing different. Started expecting different. So opportunity, you know, Brittany started talking to him, and he wound up going to school and desired to be an EMT, and people told him, just can't happen with your record. And so he worked through this whole process, and I'm kind of shortening his testimony. It's a great, great testimony. Anyway, long story short, the very same day, 9 years ago, this just happened last week, the very same day, 9 years ago, where Tony was arrested for DUI, 9 years later, he got the paperwork, and he got everything all squared away, where he's got accepted to go to be an EMT, to fulfill the dream that he's got, where that record, I don't think it got expunged, but as far as the guilt and the shame and the inferiority and the condemnation that he felt with, where year after year, this season would come on, and he'd think the devil would like just play mind games with him. You're never going to get out. Look at the situation that you did. You're at a dead-end street. But he understood, and he stood on the love of God. That God loves me. God's a great God. He'll change my situation around. And sure enough, 9 years later, on the very same day that that accident happened, where like shame and guilt was attached, he got the news of a brand new start. So come on, guys. Come on, guys. God's amazing. God's amazing. Don't go through life resentful. Don't go through life fretful. Don't go through life fearful. It says there in that confession, I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. Man, how many times we deal with people, you deal with your own life, and people are always remembering what happened to them. Always can recount the evil done to them. If you're doing that, let me challenge you, you're not walking in the God kind of love. It's not an eye for an eye anymore. It's not a tooth for tooth. There's another way called allowing the love of God to work in your life so the life of God can flow through your life. I was in Tennessee last week with Pastor Kimberly, hung out, saw my mom and my brothers. They both live there. Had a great time with them. Just hung out for a while. My older brother teaches a circle, home group. And he said this. He said, Gary, I can't tell you how many times over the last 6 years or so that we've had a circle, a home group in our life, in our house, where people constantly are living with offense in their life. And he said, for 6 or 7 years having this group, I hear it time after time where I see issues in people's lives. And as you get to talk to them, it all comes back to how they were offended, and that incident is still bringing hurt and pain in their life. Can I tell you? Release it to the love of God. Let the love of God work in you. And don't let whatever happened or whatever could happen to you keep you and damn you and hold you and bind you, no matter if it was something you brought on yourself or something somebody else brought into your life. Can you just release it and let it go? So that's the power of this, guys. That's the power of this, that daily, here's what's going to happen, the Holy Spirit will bring things up to you and bring healing in your life, bring victory in your life, bring release in your life, so that you can walk in life understanding the love of God more and more and live whole and happy. Come on, everybody. And live free and live delivered. And anything that could try to stick to you, come on, you'd be like a Teflon Christian. Come on, somebody. Just slip right off you. Look real quick, one more scripture this morning. We just kind of pressed for time. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verse 11 and 12. This is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. He keeps saying the same thing. If you read this chapter, five chapters, you're going to hear it over and over and over. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Everybody remember Cain's brother? Come on, Abel, right? Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's, Abel's, were righteous. Why did Cain murder Abel? Because Cain's works, he says here, were evil, and his brother Abel's were righteous. If you remember reading that in Genesis chapter 4, God evidently told these guys how an offering would be pleasing to him, and God told them what to bring, and evidently Abel brought that which was pleasing to God, and Cain did not. So God comes to Cain, and he says, Cain, I'm not accepting your offering. And we know that God accepted Abel's offering. And so Cain was mad, and the Bible says his whole countenance changed. He was furious. How many know that wasn't the love of God? Yeah. And so God actually comes to Cain, and it's interesting, you read it, Genesis chapter 4. God is begging Cain not to do what seems to be in his heart. He says, sin's crouching at the door, God says to Cain, and sin's got a desire for you. But you're supposed to rule over it. Listen to me. Cain does not rule over an anti-love feeling in his life. So the course happens. We don't know how often, when the time frame happened. Cain comes up with a plot. How many of the devil was messing with Cain? says that, why did he murder him? Problem. Cain, the God. But I would suggest, have been murdered. Of what happened, just not worth it. You're probably going to will work your situation.
Healing.
Mainly, was living. And here's the last thing I'll say. Probably longer. He laid down. So if you've got the ability, so he said, help somebody and you don't, how can you really say the love of God's working in you? So he says, don't love children. He says, don't love in just word. Just don't give me lip service. You know, let it be in deed and truth. So I want to encourage you this week. Take this confession. Get it working in you. You already said it once, so Sunday's done. Say it every day. I take a 2-week challenge. Say it every day for the next 13, 14 days. And begin asking yourself, am I allowing anything to work in my life with the love of God? And I'm seeing the life of God in my life, maybe not to the full extent that I want it to. Check the love of God. As you read it, let it filter through relationships, my spouse, my children, my extended family, maybe mixed families. What's going on? Then begin looking at others. Look at your work environment. Look at the church environment. Look at the ministry that you're serving in. Am I walking in the love of God? Am I laying my life down? Am I really doing that? I want to encourage you. Consciously look for ways that I can lay my life down. How can I serve? How can I show my love for my spouse, my children, other places, maybe in the workplace, maybe in the church place? How can I put, you know, feet to this? And lastly, if I possess something, like John says, if I possess something and I see somebody in need, Lord, are you talking to me about being a blessing to them in this area? If you do that, I guarantee God will talk to you. You'll start seeing things change and shift in your life. By the Word of God working in you, listen to me, and working through you. This is a demonstration to a lost and dying world, the love of God in your life. In your life. Let's get it working in the home. Let's get it working with the kids. Come on, everybody. Let's get it working more in the church, right? Let's get it working in the work environment as well. Come on, stand up, everybody. Father, we ask you this morning, that this deep, simple word about the love of God that's so basic and can be spoken of in just such simple terms. But Father, we know that you are love. Help us today make adjustments to manifest the love of God to others. So Father, those tough situations at work we're going to face tomorrow. Unloving environment, difficult situations. Help us process everything through the love of God. Help us yield to it. Help us act on it. Father, you said, now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Help us walk in the greatest. In Jesus' name. Come on, you agree with that? Say amen. Come on, say it one more time. Amen. Prayer partners, come on up here. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, we are excited about the potential and the power to pray with you. Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. There's no way.